Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're reading verses 12 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, reading verses 12 to 19, and hear now the word of God. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will and trust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And may God add to our understanding this portion of His holy word. You know, I know that all of us are concerned about our future here in the United States of America. This was a nation that once was united in purpose and cause, and we've seen over time that this unity has eroded. And instead of unity, there is division. And we know that this has caused people to be on edge, that neighbors are at odds with one another. Neighbors are rebelling over the fact that somebody puts a political sign in their yard that they don't approve of, and somehow they feel it's their responsibility to go and tear it down. You know, sometimes simply even wearing a certain shirt or a hat or whatever will cause people to rise up in anger, or having a bumper sticker on your car might open you up to having damage done to your car in retaliation. And it's like, what is this? Where is this coming from? Well, the truth is, much of this comes from a different worldview, a different approach to life. And we can see that in our country, this is part of where the division is coming from. People that have a certain agenda, they have certain things in mind, and there are others that aren't going with the program. And so as a result, there's anger and there's frustration, and sometimes there's violence. You see, natural man sees things very differently from a person who belongs to Jesus Christ. The old Epicurean slogan, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, seems to be the prevalent philosophy, humanism, the prevalent philosophy in America. Do you know that Jesus even spoke about this in Luke chapter 12, verse 19, when he spoke about the rich man who was doing so well? He said, what am I going to do with all this extra grain? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And in verse 19, Jesus says this. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And Jesus was quoting the philosophy of that day, the Epicurean philosophy that still persists even to this day. And that is, you know, what's life about? You only go around once in life, so grab all the gusto you can. Eat, drink, be merry. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's our prevailing philosophy. And that causes people to do things that are harmful to others. In their quest for prosperity, their greed, they'll do things that are hindrances, hurtful to other people, and in particular, hurtful to our nation. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You see this all the time, and I do too. This is what's going on. And this very worldview causes them to hate Christians. Now, we can see evidences of that also. Comedians mocking, making fun of Christianity. Heard something just recently that I'd never thought about before, and that is that atheists will always say, "I don't believe in God." They never say, "I don't believe in Allah." They never say, "I don't believe in Buddha." They never say any other religion except Christianity. "I don't believe in the God of the Christians." And that's true. That's true. So as a result, they feel compelled to tear down Christians' faith, to persecute them. Not because they've done anything wrong, but because they serve a living God. You know, Jesus spoke about this in the Beatitudes. And you know, we've been going through the Beatitudes week by week. And I know some of you are probably saying, "When is this ever going to be over? I mean, we've been in this thing forever." Actually, today is the last Beatitude that we're going to be discussing. Some people break this up into two different Beatitudes, but it really comes under the covering of one. And that Beatitude is this. It's found in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 10 to 12, and it says this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." One of the things that I really love about Jesus when he was calling people to himself, he never painted a rosy picture. He never said, "If you follow me, all your woes and problems are going to be taken care of." See, we have people preaching that gospel today. We have people preaching, "Your best life is now." No, it's not. That's not true. You can be healthy, wealthy. You can have everything you want. All you have to do is become a Christian, and all your problems are going to drift away. Have any of you found that to be the truth? Jesus said exactly the opposite. He said, "When you follow after me, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And the truth of the matter is, for many people, when they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, their problems are just beginning. They go through tremendous difficulties. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword to cause division. The division was not of his doing. It was the fact that he was proclaiming the truth, and the truth always divides. And I have to tell you, in the United States of America right now, that's what we're facing. The truth is dividing. It's dividing people. There are those who have a preset mind saying, "This is what I want to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to create problems." Jesus showed this progression of faith in the Beatitudes. You know, he first spoke about the emptying out of ourselves. He talked about the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn once they realize they're not what God has desired. People who become meek instead of trusting in their own strength and own ability. People who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're emptied out and then they're starving and they're crying out to God to fill them. And then he talks about the filling, being filled with mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Looked at that last Sunday. And so he's describing here the kind of person that has placed God first in their life, that's cried out to God, and God in his mercy has filled them with his spirit. And as a result, these are the things that are taking place in those people. And the truth is, this week we look at the result of all that. We look at what happens to people in this world when they transfer kingdoms from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said, blessed are the persecuted, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, who is he referring to? And like a lot of these Beatitudes, we can begin by looking at who he's not talking about. First of all, he's not talking about those who are persecuted for fanatical beliefs, what we call the pseudo-martyrs. Those are the people that hold to a certain view, and then when they go out and proclaim that view, other people don't listen to them. And I don't feel that it's wrong for us to include cults, some of the cults, or very pushy sects. Like it used to be, you couldn't even go to an airport without having people coming up trying to convince you that they had a book that would change your life and turned out to be Buddhism. And they were trying to lock people in to that Hare Krishna and whatever. Some of those things we haven't heard from in a long time because it really didn't work in America. But we're not talking about people that are proclaiming these fanatical beliefs. You've probably had the experience, as I have, of having Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house, and they have a whole spiel that they go through that they proclaim. And the truth is, if you don't accept what they're saying, then they get very angry with you. I had one in particular when I brought up a few things that they couldn't answer, like Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And they can't answer that because it's saying that the Messiah is also God Almighty. And they became angry and upset, and they walked outside and they started shaking all the dust off their clothes and proclaiming curses down on my household. You see, because they consider themselves to be persecuted, but they're not being persecuted for righteousness. It's also not those who are supporting unpopular causes. And we have a lot of those in this country. And certainly we agree with the standard that they're giving. For instance, as believers in Jesus Christ, we would not support abortion. We would not support homosexuality. We would not support transgenderism. We would not support these things because we believe that the Bible stands against it. And the Bible is our final word, our standard of faith and practice, and so we have to hold true to that. But there are those that will go out on marches or whatever against these things, and then they feel like they're being persecuted because of their beliefs, standing on their beliefs. It's also not talking about those good people who are trying to do everything they can to be genuine in their faith, and yet they feel like it's important that they don't rock the boat. They don't want to say anything or do anything that might cause other people to stand against them, because they want to be liked. They want everybody to like them. And you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked, but there comes a point when you have to stand on principle. I'm sure Jesus wanted to be liked, and yet he knew that there were things that he had to say and things that he had to do that would rile up the powers to be, and that people would end up hating him as a result of that. See, in all these things that I've talked about, you can see elements of Jesus in them. But he was persecuted for another reason. And we're told here that he was persecuted for righteousness' sake, because he wanted to be righteous. He was righteous in all that he did and said. And it was that very righteousness that caused people to stand against him and people to hate him. He would not compromise when he was dealing with others. You know, we see evidences of this. Jesus went to eat at a Pharisee's home. Pharisee's name was Simon. And while he was eating there, he started to rail against Simon. He started to tell Simon, this is the truth. This is what the Father says. And what he said was very offensive to Simon. But Jesus wasn't afraid to be offensive when he knew it was the truth. Listen, if we really believed that our neighbor was going to end up on judgment day going with the goats rather than the sheep, wouldn't we have enough love for them and concern for them that we would talk to them about their lifestyle, talk to them about where they are, who they were in Christ? That when they stood before the Almighty God, the question was not going to be, how many good things did you do in life? It would be, what did you do with Jesus? Did you love him? Did you follow him? Did you obey him? And if we cared about them, we would do everything in our power to try to bring them into an understanding of who God is and who Jesus is. Now, Jesus was persecuted because of righteousness. He was the light. John chapter 1 says that the one true light coming into this world enlightened every man. And then we can see that the desire of man was not to follow that light. Even his own rejected him and ended up hating him and ended up wanting to kill him. We can see all that taking place. He was the light that people hated. We've read this before, but this is in John chapter 3, verse 19. This comes right after John's statement, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And then only a couple of verses later, three verses later, it says this, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." So John is giving us a picture of why Jesus was hated and would be hated and would eventually be killed. Because he was righteous. And he was trying to convince people and plead with people to follow after him. And they rejected him. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're doing this study in the Gospel of John. And it's been really great. It's been very encouraging to read some of these things. But we're just now seeing where in John chapter 6, especially in verse 66, where Jesus kind of lays the law down. He kind of reveals it. And he said, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in my kingdom." And we know that he was speaking metaphorically. He was not speaking about cannibalism. He was talking about, unless you take me in completely, you have no part of my kingdom. And it says, as a result, many were no longer following after him. And then a few verses later, this is in John chapter 7, verse 1. And it says that Jesus was no longer, I'll read it to you. "Jesus purposely stayed away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to kill him." He was speaking the truth from God's heart, and yet they wanted to kill him. They wanted to silence him. They wanted the truth to stop. They couldn't handle it. This is natural man. This is what we're seeing in our country today, where people want to proclaim the truth, say the truth, and they want to shut him up, stop it, censor it. Don't let that person speak. And if you continue to speak, we're going to find a way to get rid of you. That's what we're facing. Let's be honest. So why are Christians being persecuted? You see, once we have surrendered our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ, we've changed kingdoms. We're no longer part of the kingdom of this world. We're now a part of God's kingdom. And because of that, the world hates us. We've been born again. We no longer belong to this world. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, something we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus, this is what Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. What was he saying? You're different. You're not like this world. And they can see that, and they don't like you. If they hate Jesus, they're going to hate you. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, it says this. It says, they think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. And Peter was warning the Christians of his day, don't be surprised at this fiery trial. When they realize that you're not going along with them and that you won't do the things that they're doing, they hate you. And they're going to malign you. They're going to do everything they can to try to hurt you. And it's like, what have I done? All I've wanted to do is follow Jesus. You see, Jesus has that ability to divide. He divides between the natural man and the spiritual man. He divides it. I remember one time hearing this comedian that talked. He was in a large crowd. And he said, now we want you to all have a great time here tonight. We want you to enjoy yourselves and just relax and be at peace. And that's why I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. And of course, everybody just broke up. It was a joke. Because everybody knows when you talk about Jesus, it is anything but peaceful. That's the truth. They hate you because you love him. The world no longer accepts us. And Jesus said all along, this is what's going to happen. This will happen when you buy into my kingdom. This is what the kingdom of this world is going to do. I'm just going to read this. This is in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 19. And Jesus said this again to his disciples. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And he was trying to tell them, just as Peter did in the passage that we read this morning, don't be surprised at this fiery ordeal. This is what happens when you follow after Jesus. When you allow his Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. And the more you become like Jesus, the more and more the world is going to hate you and try to destroy you. So how are we persecuted? You know, Jesus gave us some indication here. That was in that Matthew chapter 10 in the Beatitude that we read today. Matthew chapter 10 or 5, verse 11. And he said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Jesus specifically talked about that. Reviling, that is saying ugly things constantly, trying to tear you down and persecute you. You know, looking at all different things that you may or may not have done and condemning you for it. Charging you falsely on my account. That's been going on since the day of Jesus. Christians have had to face that. They hate the light that's in us. They hate the fact that we don't embrace what they believe and what they're teaching and what they're doing. We stand against it. They can't stand it. It's against their kingdom. You know, I read something. I wanted to share it with you. It came out of a book by John Piper. Some of you may be familiar with that name. He's a Baptist, Reformed Baptist minister. And he made these statements about how are we persecuted as Christians? He said, if you cherish chastity, your life will be an attack on people who love free sex. If you embrace temperance, your life will be a statement against the love of alcohol. If you pursue self-control, your life will indict excess eating. If you live simply and happily, you'll show the folly of luxury. If you walk humbly with your God, you'll expose the evil of pride. If you're punctual and thorough in your dealings, you'll lay open the inferiority of laziness and negligence. If you speak with compassion, you'll throw callousness into sharp relief. If you're earnest, you'll make the flippant look flippant instead of clever. If you're spiritually minded, you'll expose the worldly mindedness of those around you. And I'm sure he could go on and on about what we face in this life as Christians, what we're facing right now in the United States of America as Christians. And I know that we, for the most part, we've been able to live our lives fairly free from persecution. And it kind of gives us the idea that if I don't rock the boat, maybe I can skate through all of this and not be persecuted. That's not going to happen. Over time, you're going to have to stand up for what you believe. Most of the men in here know. The ladies don't, because their associations are different from men. But most men, when you're boys and you're about 12 or 13 or 14 years old, you know that if somebody has taken it on themselves to bully you, to push you around, that you can try to walk away from it, you can try to be at peace, but it's never going to end. It just gets worse and worse until the day you stand up for yourself, and if need be, you fight. And you show them, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to be intimidated by you anymore. And we as Christians, we as believers in this nation, have been pushed around and bullied by an evil, ungodly system. I think COVID-19 gave us great indications of what our government would do if they had the chance. They would close every single church down, and in fact, they would probably put most of us in jail for things that we believe. It's time to stand up. So what does Jesus, why does Jesus say that if we're persecuted, we're going to be blessed? I mean, how does that fit in? Because most of us feel like, no, if I'm persecuted, I'm not blessed. I'm anything but blessed. Well, rather than being upset, Jesus tells us to rejoice. Isn't it strange? So many things in God's kingdom are just a reverse of the way the world looks at it. You know, the last shall be first, and the greatest shall be the least, and, you know, all these different anomalies in Scripture that seem to be contradictions, but they're not. And Jesus said, if you're persecuted for righteousness, if you're persecuted for my name's sake, instead of being upset, rejoice. That's great. That's great news. Why would that be great news? In fact, Jesus even said, our reward would be great in heaven. Well, first of all, it proves, if the world hates us, it proves we must be doing something right from God's standpoint. If the world hates what we believe and stands against us, that's not a bad thing. The Apostle John told us over and over again, don't love this world or the things of this world. This is not your home. You're just passing through here. So if this world doesn't like you, or the things that you say, not the way you say it, but the things you say, rejoice. Because now you know that the Lord is on your side, that the Lord is walking with you. That passage that we read, Jesus said, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So if the world hates us, it means that God loves us. It means that Jesus is with us, that he's helping us. And I've got to tell you, if we're going to choose sides, that's the side to be on. He's already told us what's going to happen. Read Revelation. This is how everything is wrapped up. And those people that are shaking their fists at God, they're going to be wiped away. Those people that have surrendered to Jesus as their Lord, they're going to live forever. They'll be with him. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, this is why we rejoice in persecution. We join Jesus in the suffering that he went through. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. It says this: the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now, I know that as time passes, and it's not just the election that's coming up, that's the beginning of things. But as time passes, there's going to be greater and greater opposition to what we believe as followers of Jesus. And we're going to share in that persecution. It's not a time for us to run and hide. It's not a time for us to compromise, to give in to those things that we believe and say we don't really believe those. No, it's time for us to stand. When we stand, Jesus stands with us. This is why we rejoice in persecution, because our inheritance is with Christ. And that inheritance is fixed. It's sure. Like money in the bank. We have choices to make in these days ahead as believers, as followers of Jesus. How are we going to approach it? Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we're grateful that you give us these words. Lord, that Jesus, you didn't leave us alone here. You left us with your Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is giving us your word that we can stand on it. And Lord, if we are suffering because of righteousness, then praise the Lord. We thank you for that. Father, I pray that we would have wisdom as we deal with these issues, that we would not suffer because of things we've done, but that because of our love for you and the fact that we're unwilling to walk in a different way. I thank you for each person here and ask that your Holy Spirit would give us strength as we stand up to a world that's dying around us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please stand and turn into your hymnal to number 58. 58, He Leadeth Me. We'll sing the first two verses now and then the third after the benediction.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.
Downstairs.